It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Indeed, on a Friday with Paul Feinbaum on this Football Friday, brought to you by Bryant Bank. And so we welcome you into the show, Senator. We welcome you into the show, Paul Feinbaum.
Hey, thank you. Listen, I haven't had much to do this week, so I appreciate you guys calling. I've been waiting for my phone to ring.
Yeah, you seem like you're on some sort of political suspension for a while. But anyway, that's another company's that's their priority or their prerogative. How you doing, Paul? We're going to look back at the weekend that was just a little bit, and then we have a pretty big slate for this weekend, right?
Yeah, I mean, last weekend was really defined by two things. It was another loss for Arch Manning,
yep,
and another loss for James Franklin on different sides of the country, both equally painful. And, you know, James Franklin, he's a Penn State coach for everyone who has forgotten. He said it was tough to travel all the way out to UCLA from Happy Valley. He failed to mention that Oregon had traveled the week before and beaten him at home.
Yep.
That is the all-time, I mean, what do you do with a James Franklin? He wins you 9 or 10 games a year, but you have to know in the back of your mind you're never going to win at all.
I got the perfect job for him. Take Bill Belichick's place in North Carolina. Wow.
That could be open sometime this week.
Hey, yeah. We don't know. No, they don't want you. Belichick said he's there for good, and UNC wants you to know that he's their coach.
Okay? Oh, okay. Okay, is that their statement this week?
Yeah, they put it out late. So, Paul, yeah, speaking of the Arch Manning game and Sunbelt Billy off the bye, run game gets going, Lagway. I mean, the offense, which has been putrid for much of this year, shows up, and Arch still not there yet. Florida gets that big win, and Texas now still winless. Well, that was their first SEC game, but winless in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, Sunbelt Billy's just kind of guy, kind of like your crazy high school girlfriend that you break up to make up. And I mean, every time you think he's about to get fired, he comes back. I was down there last weekend, guys, and I mean, I tried to say something nice about him just to, you know, be a company man.
Which you are.
Thank you. I approve that message. The fans started booing me, saying, "Fire Billy, fire."
Wow. So,
I mean, he may have been gone had he lost that game, but he wins. And now he gets to go out to A&M, and Texas gets to play the Red River game against OU. And the funniest thing about that game is with John Mateer out, Arch Manning might actually be the best quarterback in the game.
Yeah, he might. He might.
First time all year.
And then, of course, in Tuscaloosa, Pavi's got to eat his words, and as much as he was the reason they won last year, he may have been the actual reason that Vandy lost this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's an actor, got old very quickly. I mean, it just got to be ridiculous. And you try to say all the right things in this business. You don't wish anything ill, but I was really kind of glad to see Alabama stuff the words back down his throat.
Yeah, they nearly stuffed him into a locker.
Yeah, they did.
That was wild.
They sure did.
I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback pregame practice the victory kneel like Pavia did. Just to really, I mean, that would have been a masterpiece if they had pulled off the upset. But you got to, and I think he's taking it fine. I haven't seen him respond to any of the Bama fans or Bama players after the game that were giving it right back to him. I think he knew he was going to get as good as he gave, but
he's got to, right? So yeah, Dalton was telling me after the game that he was confronted by some Bama players and fans were giving him a pile of crap. But with Diego's, the way he operates, he's got to know that's coming. If you don't win the game, get ready.
Well, listen, when you shoot your shot as often as he has, you're going to miss.
Yep.
And I don't really, I just have quit liking him, if I can be so politically incorrect.
Well, let's talk about Bama's next game, because Vanderbilt, we thought they had the potential to be a test, and they were for 30 minutes. But Missouri, talk about an unbeaten team that no one really feels like they have a great grasp on how good they could be. I mean, they're still ranked behind several one-loss SEC teams.
Well, the truth is they haven't played anyone.
Yeah.
And this schedule was pretty easy to predict, that they would likely be undefeated. Now, I'm the only idiot that thought maybe Alabama would also be undefeated. But the point is that they're a good team. They have an outstanding runner, maybe the best in the country. But we just don't know anything yet. But I do think it's a – yeah, listen, it's a pretty nerdy game for Alabama. I mean, it's third game in a long stretch. And I've never quite figured out that 11 o'clock local time start, whether that really helps or hurts the home team. It seemed like it would be an advantage for the road team. But I think, you know, if Alabama walks out of there losing, it shouldn't come as a shock to the system. I don't think they will, but I wouldn't feel good as an Alabama fan until about 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Well, I've heard from many people that you haven't really seen a real college football game until you've been in Memorial Stadium at 11 a.m. So that's what the title find
and,
out this weekend.
Not that I'm trying to lose any popularity in Missouri, but this is now my second trip to Missouri in about 6 weeks. So I'm well versed on the great Midwest.
By the way, you're right. I don't know that 11 o'clock kickoff is a compliment to either team or what it says exactly. But to Missouri, one thing about Missouri, they don't have to really come up with anything new, fangled or offense, because they run it for like 290 yards a game.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's against soft competition to this point, but they do something well that Bama has had a little trouble stopping, because Georgia ran it pretty well against Alabama, too.
And so did Vandy.
And so did Vandy for a time. Half. Yeah. So anyway, it's worth considering.
It's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't think the 11 o'clock kickoff really affects the atmosphere in Missouri. It's the same at 11 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night.
So Georgia and Auburn off a bye week, and they're probably watching after what Florida did off the bye week last week, thinking they might have a similar chance to really kind of turn the way their offense is operating around. But you talk about as professional as you can get in the college environment. That is the Georgia Bulldogs under Kirby Smart. They don't waver a whole lot week to week, at least in my opinion.
I love this game, maybe because as a young sports writer, it was always in the middle of November. It was 2 weeks before the Iron Bowl.
Yep.
And I just thought this is one of the richest rivalries in college football. And it just feels weird early October. But literally everything is on the line for Auburn. I like where Hugh Freeze's boss, John Cohn, this week, you know, kind of shrugged his shoulders when he was asked if this was a critical game for Hugh Freeze. Yes, it is. It's time for him to win one of these big games. Auburn fans look at two games every year, and you better win one if you want to survive. And this is one of them. I don't need to tell you the other one.
Yeah, this is not – I've heard this time and time again this season that this is not, quote-unquote, a vintage Kirby Smart Georgia team. But they're a Kirby Smart Georgia team anyway. So regardless of what they have or their deficiencies with their youth and lack of experience – and they're not getting to the quarterback. You can run up all kinds of things that Georgia doesn't do necessarily well. They're still Georgia. They present a problem to whoever they play.
Yeah, and let me make it simple for Auburn fans. Georgia has the better coach in this game, so that really matters. Georgia's a tough team to watch sometimes, but 2 weeks removed from Alabama, that game was really came down to one play. In spite of Alabama playing as Georgia playing as poorly as they did.
Yep, I agree.
How about Florida? Can they keep this thing rolling? Now, this time
on the road,
they're away from the swamp.
Yeah.
Playing at College Station, and Texas A&M, they've just, been in control. Of course, a relatively tight one against Auburn a few weeks back. But how do you see this Florida at A&M game kind of playing out?
I think it is an opportunity for Napier. I don't think A&M is unbeatable, but I do think the setting is pretty tough. And I think I have a hard time believing Florida can be consistent 2 weeks in a row. So I'm gonna go Aggies and give Sunbelt Billy his fourth loss of the year and one step closer to going back to the Sunbelt.
Now that it's clear that Lenora Sellers will not be in New York City to contend for the Heisman, that was a lot of chatter preseason, but doesn't look like it now. They're on the road, South Carolina at LSU, and another guy whose performance has not lived up to the preseason hype, and the quarterback at LSU.
Nussmeier,
Nussmeier. Talk that maybe he's been injured all this time. I don't know what. But does South Carolina have a fighting chance going into that one?
I don't think so. I mean, you take a look at their schedule. I mean, it is just ridiculous. And this would be their third loss, and they still have Alabama and an endless number of really good teams. But I think Nussmeier, I think he has been banged up. It's affected him. I just have a hard time believing that somebody that every expert told me was the best quarterback in the country coming in can be this inept. Their running game has been a problem. I'm starting to hear some serious criticism from the LSU fans. So, Brian Kelly, beware. Don't try losing this game. You should have lost it last year.
And I guess we could wrap it up since we've talked about all the other intra-conference SEC games, inter-conference games. Tennessee hosting Arkansas, actually a revenge game for the Vols this year. At Neyland. But I want to ask you about Bobby Petrino and the coaching situation there in Arkansas. He's made a lot of changes over the bye week since he took control. What's the feeling from Arkansas fans? Do they want Petrino to stick around beyond this year, or are they wanting something fresh and new?
They're just happy Sam Pittman is gone, number one. I think Petrino could make a case for himself. I don't think he has to win a lot, but I think if he could win one or two games, they would very likely keep him. There's no clear candidate. Rhett Lashley seems to be the name, but some Arkansas insiders don't think so. So I think it's TBD on that, but I don't see Petrino. I mean, he might get one win here somewhere, but the odds of him getting more than that are pretty slim.
Yeah, I think
it won't be tomorrow.
You know, a big concern for Petrino, despite his age, he's always looking for something fresh and new himself. So I think you have to.
Yeah, I mean, listen, not to be too funny here, because I have to be serious.
That's
but,
right.
Wouldn't it be funny if he came out in the sidelines tomorrow with a neck brace?
Hey, trick or treat.
Yeah. Man, that would be great. As always, Paul, another great week talking with you about these games and looking forward to watching you tomorrow on TV and then following it up with some good Saturday football. So we appreciate it as always.
Yeah, thanks for remembering it.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, Paul Feinbaum, Football Fridays with Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Great conversation with him every single week, and we've got some really good games setting us up for tomorrow. And Auburn fans, how you feeling? I mean, only 3.5-point dogs to the Dogs, and you're at home at Jordan-Hare. Can you get it done? And then Bama, how are you feeling about Missouri?
I'll be watching the Bama-Missouri game at a 1-year-old's birthday party tomorrow, so that... I've never done that.
Watch the foul language, okay? I know how you get when you're watching football.
All right. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Friday morning. Back with more on the way.
Coming up on 8:25. Thank you, Paul Feinbaum and Bryant Bank, for bringing us Football Fridays with Feinbaum. Always a great conversation. And I'll be watching those games with a critical eye tomorrow. I'll be playing Underdog Fantasy as always. Football season is in full swing. Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action, and you can select entries and win money right now, right here in Alabama, and playing on the Underdog app or on their website on a browser. Very easy to do. All you have to do is choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, or touchdowns in the great sport of football. We have some playoff baseball going on as well. I've been underdogging it up with those, and now the start of the hockey season. Before long, we'll be talking college and pro basketball as well. If you get your entries right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash, and it's a whole heck of a lot of fun, especially with so many big-time games coming up in college football tomorrow. I'll be putting together several entries, and it's a good weekend to start if you're interested. And download the Underdog app, figure out how it works, and have some fun. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. You'll score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton. Underdog, make plays, win money. Must be 19-plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play.
play and get terms, _DFS_.html for details. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
On the text line, 251-343-0106. Damn good interview with Paul. Okay, thank you for that. smooth. They said it was smooth. Okay. Anyway, Paul's good about that.
Yeah.
Gardner says, great conversation with Feinbaum, so they like it. Good.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's easy to talk to. So lots to discuss with you for the remainder of this hour. 251-343-0106. If you want to hop on the text line with us, we could talk about this indictment yesterday in the Northern District of Virginia. The Letitia James, Attorney General of New York, indicted for mortgage fraud. And we could break that down. We've got some audio from CNN as well to play for you.
And yeah, that's kind of funny.
And then with this Israel-Gaza peace deal, which with the Israeli troops being withdrawn reportedly this morning, that opens a 72-hour window for the remaining living and deceased hostages to be returned to Israel, a 72-hour window that began, I guess, this morning. And you talked about it some in your three big things, Dan, but not only is Trump getting praise from all the Middle Eastern nations, including Israel, but Hamas, a leader of Hamas.
Yeah, Hamas, the exiled chief of Hamas, said we acted responsibly in relation to Trump's plan. Today we announce an agreement to end the war, withdraw from the Strip, and carry out a prisoner exchange. And that's isn't that crazy that the terrorist leader has to sign documents or something? it's happened right in front of our eyes.
It is, and Sean mentioned it yesterday. The leverage that the remaining leverage that Hamas had outside of just making life a living hell over there, which is
that was their
part of the leverage.
But
to hold those hostages, I mean, that was their main leverage. And once those hostages are released, and hopefully as many are alive as possible, I think they believe there are somewhere around 20 remaining living hostages. But there goes their leverage. There had to have been a deal made that maybe isn't being... I mean, they had to have told these guys in Hamas, maybe the top leadership, that they'll be allowed to live. They're allowed to... I don't know if they'd be allowed to live there on the Gaza Strip, live where they've been creating this chaos, or if they'll kind of usher them over into Qatar or Qatar or where they'll end up. I have my doubts that they just say, okay, here's the hostages, please. I think there had to have been something else worked out.
You're not shaking hands and going home like it was a football game, right?
Right. So we'll see if any of that reporting comes out.
That guy was, they tried to kill him like last couple of weeks ago in Qatar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's in Qatar, but, kind of directing the traffic from there, which we've seen for some time. But the actual Hamas leaders that are still in Gaza, you wonder if they're going to be let out or I don't know. But the Nobel Peace Prize keeps coming up in these conversations. And you have Rubio, I'll play some of his audio coming up, where he discussed in detail what role Trump played to really get it past the goal line over these last few days. And it comes as this morning they announced the awarding of this year's Peace Prize. Yep. So I'll tell you who they gave the Nobel to for this year. And Trump will have to wait until next year to possibly be nominated again.
Was it Giants rookie Cam Scataboo?
Scataboo. I don't even think he was a finalist, believe it or not.
No, he's not a very peaceful guy, actually.
No, he's not. So we'll get into some of that on the way back, plus your texts and phone calls, 251-343-0106. FM Talk 106.5, and it is a Friday. Congratulations, everybody. We made it. Right now, it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. And tell us, what's the big news around McConnell? I know you have some fantastic vehicles out there for sale, both new and pre-owned, and with hunting season on deck, I know a lot of people looking for four-wheel drive.
That's right, and we've got a lot of them coming in. Had some salespeople up at the new at the ride up in Atlanta this weekend on the racetrack. They drove the new AT4X Canyons, and those things are fine.
Hmm.
But they all came back with some good, all the new stuff coming down with General Motors, and we're going to be there all weekend. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's great out here right now. And we'll have all the games on TV, so you won't miss them. If you want to come by a car, come on by and see us. Or check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, and remind folks, too, I mean, I know you get a lot of trade-ins, of course, but you'll buy a vehicle from someone, and it's very easy. If someone's been trying to get rid of their vehicle, they don't have to give you a whole lot of information. You can work up a price.
That's right. I had a certain person call me the other day, had two twin Mustangs, had it, one for him and one for his wife, had matching VIN numbers and stuff like that. They want to get rid of it.
Mm.
We helped him out a little bit. So, I mean, anything you want, just give us a call, 251-476-4141. I should say anything you want to sell. And we'll ask for Eddie Hicks or Mike Hatcher. Gene Stuckey's there, too. So we got three guys out there looking at trying to buy cars every day. So just give them a call. Like I said, 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louie. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Sounds like he was calling from the top of a mountain.
Well, the wind is a little blustery out there.
I guess.
When does it become blustery? I don't know. It's more of a Chicago kind of wind.
You know, I think from 13 miles an hour plus.
Okay.
You can throw in the word blustery.
Blustery. And I used nary already once today.
You did.
My quota of, because I said nary a cloud in the sky. That might have been the first time I've ever used that word.
Yeah, it was very poetic. That happened at 6:35 if you want to go back and review the tape.
8:37. I hope I don't get indicted for that. But we'll get to the Letitia James stuff here in a minute. It's mortgage fraud. We all do it. Well, that's according to one person at CNN.
But I know.
Before that,
also, somebody at CNN has a surprising take on it all. We'll get to that.
Yes, certainly. But let's kind of pay off this Nobel Peace Prize talk. And again, I'm not exactly, you know, maybe there's already been a parade for this peace deal, but it sure seems like after all the close calls and close comings to peace deals that have fallen apart, that were kind of on a high rope or thin ice or whatever cliche you want to say, but that 72-hour window to return the hostages began this morning. And there's been so much talk about the Nobel Peace Prize. And yesterday, someone mentioned Obama winning it back in 2009 and looked it up, and we talked about the Nobel's reasoning for giving Obama the Peace Prize, which is fine, right? But
I forget what it was.
Well, they basically said he opened up new lines of communication with Muslim communities in the Middle East, like that it became easier to talk to them, something kind of like that,
okay.
Like international relations with Muslim countries. And I forget the other line, but it was a real kind of, basically the bar, if that was the bar for what it takes for an American president to win the Nobel Peace Prize, I'd say Trump cleared it even without this Gaza war potentially coming to an end. And he's had people in the past say they would nominate him when he the one of the wars, I think the war in the Congo with Rwanda. After that, one of them, I thought, nominated him and then withdrew it afterwards. But he has folks saying they'll nominate him now.
Well, one of the top Israeli, Netanyahu, but no, like a government official.
Mm.
If Netanyahu is the prime minister, this would be the president.
Okay, yeah. So they awarded this year's prize, and you might have heard it in the national news there, Maria Corina Machado. The Venezuelan opposition leader, described as a, quote, brave and committed champion of peace. She's receiving the prize for her tireless work promoting democratic rights for the people of Venezuela and for her struggle to achieve a just and peaceful transition from dictatorship to democracy. The deadline for the nominations was January 31st of this year. And during the cabinet meeting yesterday, Trump was asked about the Peace Prize. He did not comment on the award in his response. And earlier this week, the Hostages and Missing Families Forum, a group representing the families of hostages and terror victims formed after that October 7th terrorist attack a couple years ago, appealed to the committee on Trump's behalf. Quote, in the past year, no leader or organization has contributed more to peace around the world than President Trump. While many have spoken eloquently about peace, he has achieved it. While others have offered empty promises, he has delivered tangible results that have saved countless lives. He has not merely spoken of peace, he has delivered it. And I believe the cover of I don't know if it's the biggest news publication in Israel or not, but it's a pretty big deal, and I can't recall the name. But this morning, their cover is basically the Trump shadow face facade kind of. You know, when you back when old like my grandmother had those pictures of her older relatives on her wall, where it's just a black picture of their face and they're doing the mugshot stare sideways. I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what it is. But Trump's face is made up of the pictures of hostages.
Wow.
And it's pretty impressive. And you could tell that in Israel, they are singing Trump's praises, no doubt. And you listen to some of these reports, it sounds like he really put his foot down. You know, it's according to internal reports, but put his foot down with Netanyahu several times here over these past couple of weeks. And Jesse Waters last night, I think he had it sourced, or maybe somebody came on his show and said at one point when Trump was relaying this peace deal to Netanyahu and Netanyahu was being ultra critical of it, Trump said, "Why are you so blanking negative all the time?" saying that to Netanyahu. This comes after last week or the week prior where he had Netanyahu from the Oval Office call Qatar and say, "Hey, I'm sorry for bombing one of your buildings. It's not going to happen again." So for all the people who say Netanyahu just runs roughshod over the American presidency, that doesn't appear to be the case here with Trump. And yesterday during that roundtable meeting that Trump likes to hold with all of the cabinet members, he had Marco Rubio talking about the work that Trump put in on this. Let me play part of this, see how much we can get to. It's a little bit of a lengthy video, so we'll cut it off here.
You know, I don't know if the one day perhaps the entire story will be told about the events of yesterday, but suffice it to say, it's not an exaggeration that none of it would have been possible without the President of the United States being involved. Began with your trip to the Middle East, where these relationships were forged with partners in the region, personal relationships, close relationships that created the foundation where all this was possible, where I think this really took a turn. Remember, a month ago, no one thought this was possible. Where it really took a turn about a month ago, less than a couple weeks ago, is when we were at the United Nations, and you convened a historic meeting, not simply of Arab countries, but of Muslim-majority countries from around the world, including Indonesia was there, Pakistan was there, and created this coalition behind this plan. Then on that following Monday, you met with the Prime Minister of Israel here, and that plan was presented. And then, of course, our great negotiating team followed up on it. In the interim, again, perhaps the stories will be told, perhaps they will never be told. The President had some extraordinary phone calls and meetings that required a high degree.
No, you could tell Trump hates this, by the way. Just joking.
Intensity and commitment and made this happen. And I think what's important to understand is that yesterday what happened was really a human story. There's a geopolitical aspect to it. There's no doubt about it. It creates the conditions for Gaza to one day be a normal place again and people to have a better life and Israelis to be safe. But yesterday was a human story. And because of the work you put in, and honestly, there is not only is there no other leader in the world that could have put this together, Mr. President, but frankly, I don't know of any American president in the modern era that could have made this possible. Because of the actions you have taken unrelated to this and because of who you are and what you've done and how you're viewed. And this weekend, because of that, at some point very soon, we are going to see 20 living human beings emerge from the darkness into the light for the first time in 2 years. And that is because not only were you used the credibility and the power and the prestige of this office and the relationships you created, and you committed yourself to making it happen. And I think it will go down as a historic moment in the history of our country, and something our country should be very proud of, that we have a president that's committed to not just peace, but to the human aspect of reuniting these families. My last point on this is just a couple of days ago, Secretary Lutnick hosted us all, many of us.
So we'll cut it there, but great stuff. And, you know, I do get kind of tired of the ass-kissing at these roundtables. It's a little much with some of the cabinet members. But with Rubio there, that sounds like honest respect and genuine amazement at the work that Trump put in. He said he was on the phone just round the clock here these last 48, 72 hours to get that through the finish line.
I mean, everything Rubio said. Rubio, first of all, he does, like you say, he's got four chops, but he is a really good communicator. And I really like the way he brought it down to the human aspect of it all. Mm-hmm. Talking about the 20 hostages are now going to be delivered from the darkness to the light. And he meant what he said, too. Really, really moving right there. That was really moving.
And let me play this really quickly. Fetterman, yesterday, talking about this.
Do you think the president deserves a Nobel Peace Prize?
Well, I mean, if this sticks, I think the whole point of having a Nobel Peace Prize is for ending wars and promoting peace. And I'm going to make a direct appeal to the president. You know, I hope he chooses to provide the tomahawks to the Ukrainians, too, and give them the tools that they need to push back against the Russia. And if he brings the Ukrainian war to its end, I'll be the Democrat leading the committee for his Nobel Prize peace for ending both of these terrible wars.
So, Fetterman, he wants a little bit more, but, you know, he's been very vocal about his support for Israel. And he's saying, all right, well, you got one more to fix. But Trump is getting some recognition from both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, so I want to go in a direction here, and in fact, it's Israeli President Isaac Herzog who was said on Thursday that he thinks Trump deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. But he also said, this is key right here, Dalton. I wish to extend my deepest thanks to President Trump for his incredible leadership towards securing the release of the hostages, bringing an end to the war, and creating hope for a new reality in the Middle East. And I think that, as the dust clears now, think about what Trump has done since he's been in office in the Middle East. He's kind of normalized relations with most of the Arab nations.
Yeah.
The only one that was out of bounds really was Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And he dealt with them. And they're now, their nukes are pretty much been mitigated. They haven't said crap since the bombing.
Yeah.
And this was the nation that was not just an irritant to the U.S., but to everybody in that area.
The main provocateur, right?
Yeah. They didn't, the others didn't want to say, hey, can you do something about Iran? Or we'll look the other way. Feel free.
Yeah.
But that, he's normalized. Talking to an ex-terrorist who is now, I guess, is over Syria. And trying to let's do businesses open.
Yeah. Well, he's always saying make money, not war, right?
And it seems to be taking shape in the Muslim world. It's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. It is. Looking at the text line, texter here says, all of you people loves kissing Trump's ass. Okay. That's what you take from all this. Okay. Yeah. I'm critical of Trump. I do like Trump a lot and voted for him, of course. And I think he's doing many, many great things. You know, but we do turn a critical eye every now and then. Now, today's not the day.
Exactly. If you're going to criticize Trump, you picked the wrong damn day in history.
Seriously. We all know the Nobel Peace Prize is a liberal mouthpiece. If Greta Thunberg can get nominated, it's a fluke and flawed process. And thank you. Silhouette, name of that kind of image I was looking for earlier.
You
thank
go.
You. That the word escaped me.
Dan and Dalton, two of your greatest wordsmiths.
That's right. This texter, Terry. Thank you, Terry. Trump could end the Hamas war, Ukrainian war, and every tribal war in Africa and still not get the Peace Prize. The globalists hate him. 251-343-0106. If you want to hop in before the end of the show. And this Tish James thing, and I say Tish because that's how you could tell how the media you're watching, how they're going to cover the subject.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying Tish James instead of Letitia James.
Their buddies
like,
there.
The CNN host did. Let me just play this quickly for you because it seems pretty open and shut. I mean, when they lay the facts out there, is it the most violent, egregious crime of all time that Letitia James is alleged to have committed? No, but it was a crime.
It's against the law.
Yeah, if she, you know, put the mortgage application in there and said this would be her secondary residence and she wouldn't use it to make money and rent it out to people in order to get a more favorable loan and then immediately began renting out the secondary residence to a family of three or three people, whatever it ends up being, she broke the law. And she's the same person who ran her campaign to become Attorney General of New York, saying she was going to be a pain in Trump's ass and was going to come after him with everything she had.
He's going to know me by name.
He's going to know me by name. So here's how CNN, this is just a little clip, but it kind of shows you how parts of CNN are handling this whole thing.
Aside for a second, what Tish James, and again, we're still getting the details, but if it's related to this mortgage issue, I mean, this is something that everyone in America, or many people at least, if you're lucky enough to be able to buy a house in America, you deal with this, right? The federal government doesn't go after all of these people for doing this. Does that decide?
So why are they going after Letitia James? Well, it's very simple. Because she brought the entire power of her office into trying to break a candidate for president of the United States. Not only that, but a former candidate, and made no bones about it. I mean, she played this so hard that if the Democrats ever lost office, people knew this would be coming. More critical eye towards her and these other Democrats. But remember, when they say this is all politically motivated, it still took a grand jury in the Northern District of Virginia.
Yeah, those are everyday people in Northern Virginia where things kind of lean left.
And they indicted Comey, and now they've indicted Letitia James. And looking at the counties in that district where that that court is, all but two went for Trump in the all but two went for Kamala Harris in the last election, to kind of show you what that voting pool and that jury pool likely looked like that indicted Letitia James.
There you go. So, you know, like, don't look at Trump. That was the jury of Tish's peers.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick Anderson Cooper cut, too, that's pretty telling about that whole situation. A lot of what you were talking about. 853 FM Talk 106.5 and Roll Tide. I'm going to be watching the Alabama football game tomorrow at a one-year-old birthday party. We'll talk about that on the
835 FM Talk 106.5, and it is a Friday. Congratulations, everybody. We made it.
Right now it's time to head to
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. A little smudge up with the computer there.
The computer giving us issues this morning.
Too many. It's Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Jeff Porter Show is on the way. We're excited to let you. You probably knew that, but we wanted to let you know for sure.
Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News at 9:30. Paul DeMarco, the columnist, joins Jeff at 10:30. And then State Senator Chris Elliott, the returning champ, coming up at 11:30. On the Jeff Poor Show, and we'll kind of wrap for the morning this Letitia James story. You found something Anderson Cooper was saying yesterday.
Yeah, real brief, but he's just, it's like, where has this attitude been for all these years? He's calling out Letitia James, like saying, it was a panel, I don't know everybody was agreeing with him, but Anderson Cooper took the time, this was like last night, to say this about James.
According to PolitiFact, the day after she was elected in 2018, Letitia James was asked by a community activist if she was going to sue President Trump, and she replied, quote, oh, we're going to definitely sue him, we're going to be a real pain in the ass, he's going to know my name personally. I mean, that's not a great look for somebody who has just been elected or just been campaigning, who hasn't even looked, I guess, at deeply at any evidence.
Okay, that was about, when was she elected? 3 years ago?
That's 2019.
A little late.
Yeah.
I'm glad somebody like Cooper said it. It would be hilarious if suddenly all these voices that we try to avoid, or at least we play them for their absurdity, start to begin to praise Trump. I don't think any of us will actually know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up on The View, things like that.
That is not going to happen. I'll eat a hat. I don't know about my hat, but okay. I'll eat a hat if that ends up happening.
Peace in the Middle East.
You've got a pretty interesting day coming up tomorrow. I know you'll be watching the Bulldogs play Auburn tomorrow night. But before that, in Alabama kicking off at 11. So you'll be at a one-year-old's birthday party?
So it's Brandon and Jennifer and their management down at Floribama, and their 1 year old has got a birthday tomorrow, and I'm going to show up with a Target bought present and all.
Yeah, well, you worked hard on buying that present. What if you hear this tomorrow at this children's birthday party with Bama goes right down the field, and you get a little bit of this action?
Okay.
Hold on, let me see if I can unmute it, because this is the cutest video. If they weren't singing the Yay Alabama fight song.
Yay Alabama, Crimson Tide. Every man inside you hit your frame. You go teach your bulldogs to behave. Say you were dressed to walk in the mail song to begin. That's a shame. We must swim, we're in the latest quiz and frame. Fight on, fight on.
Hey! How great is that? We were talking about this earlier, and just hop on YouTube. This is a video from 15 years ago, Dan. It had like 380 views. Clearly a Alabama fan and their young daughter singing Yay Alabama. I think you're going to hear that a lot tomorrow morning at that party.
That is. Oh, man. I've got to alert the credit the party of that tomorrow, for sure.
All right, 8:58. The Jeff Poor Show on the way next. We'll be back bright and early Monday morning at 6 for Mobile Mornings.